Woo-hoo! Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. All
right. Viernes. So, yay!
Kenny the Jet, fellas, yesterday was on with us, and we were talking about the bubble. We were talking about the Lakers' chances and who he liked. And what we did not get into was his favorite or his top 10 NBA players of all time. And I can't wonder if that wasn't tactical on Jet's part, because he has LeBron at number 10. I don't know how well that would have gone over on this show or in this city, frankly.
You know, we didn't ask him a question about his top 10 players or anything like that, right? So he didn't answer. He probably would have gave the same answer. The thing is, the person I was interviewing talked about it, and he gave him the answer, LeBron 10, Kobe 11. But it wasn't even a definitive 10. It was probably he could be 10, maybe. I'm like, huh? So I don't know.
We're all the guilty.
You guys are stuck on LeBron. You guys are stuck on LeBron. I'm really stuck on the fact that he doesn't have Kobe in his top 10 at all. Like, LeBron at 10th is offensive. Kobe not in your top 10 at all is just downright crazy.
Let's take a listen. He was on a podcast, and he was talking about the top 5, the top 10, and here's what he said about both LeBron and Kobe.
Why is LeBron James not in your top 5?
LeBron James is in my top 10.
Okay.
But he's 10, possibly.
Whoa! Possibly.
Is Shaq in your top 10?
Shaq's in my top 10.
Is Kobe?
No, Kobe's not in my top 10. Kobe's like 11. Magic, Larry Bird. Larry Bird. Who did I just say?
Archibald has to be in your – Oscar and Nate Archibald are in your top 10.
It's so much easier to score now that it makes it hard to judge guys' ability, because it's so easy to score. Like, I was a good scorer. I wasn't even a great scorer. I averaged 17 points a game at my highest, I think 18. In that year, I probably would average 26, 25.
Okay, let's jump in right here. Let's start with this point. First of all,
25 years ago, Kobe was still going to average whatever it was.
That's where I want to start, Keith. This idea that Kobe Bryant or LeBron James would struggle in scoring in any era is just nuts. These are two of the great scorers of all time. Kobe Bryant is one of the game's great scorers. LeBron James can get a bucket at any time he wants against any era player at any point. Is the game less physical than it used to be? Sure. Can you some of the defensive things that they used to be able to do illegal now? Yes. But you're telling me that LeBron James would have a hard time getting his 25, 28, 29 a game in any era? I don't, just absolutely no chance. Reject that.
Yeah, but if you are physical, I'm gonna be physical too. LeBron James doesn't have to be physical, because that's not the style of basketball. But if you're telling me that LeBron James, a dude that played football, wouldn't be physical? Wouldn't knock people down just as much as they would knock him down and beat him up?
But here's the thing, though, that to me, is he's missing the linchpin. The reason why it's easier to score in his, you know, from a perception perspective anyway, is because the guys are better. That's why you cross half court, and a half court 3-point shot is a legitimate shot for more than one person in the league, that's the reason why it looks so much easier to score. LeBron James, Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, obviously, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. These are dudes who can take a shot one step past the half court line and nail it, and it's a legitimate shot. And no one is shocked by it, because that's what they've been doing. You didn't have that level of skill when Kenny the Jet Smith was playing in the NBA. So I can understand why you may think it's easier to score now. But the fact of the matter is, these guys, the James Hardens, you didn't have dudes that could do that back then.
And well, open I don't up the know, court I don't know to that they capacity. Didn't have them. I just don't think that they tried to do it.
Well, you no, didn't have
some. I would
no,
you have didn't have
builders that could take three. Yeah. You didn't have a Kevin Durant and Dirk Nowitzki didn't exist.
Well, exactly. I would think that Larry Bird could do it. I would think that Reggie Miller, the shooters could do it. The shooters could do it. And the seven-footers' skill sets wasn't that, because they never practiced it. When you was a big, you went on the box. When you was young, growing up, and you was bigger than everybody else, the first thing you did is you played center. You could have been, you know, you could have been 6'5", but you was the biggest dude on the team. You was moving to center.
Man, those three, those scores that he's talking about, like the great Walter Davis and Adrian Dantley and Mark McGuire to a certain extent, those guys did all the work. The James Worthy, they did the majority of their work in the mid-range game and in the post. At nowadays, the mid-range game,
big game James hitting a jumper.
Rarely.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a mid-range jumper and it was good. But nowadays, like, those aren't even considered decent shots because they're too easy. it's like just the mentality of the scoring is different. To say that it's easier just because guys are better, it's just not consistent at all.
Okay, and then there's this. There's Nate Archibald. Come on, man.
Nate Archibald.
You can't have Nate Archibald ahead of LeBron James on any list for any reason with anything to do with basketball unless we're ranking the great six-foot players of all time. That's it. LeBron James is better at all of these things. And if the list has tiny Nate Archibald on it ahead of LeBron, I just kind of got to stop you right there and say, okay, you go do your list over there, but I'm not going to listen to it because there is not a listing great players in NBA history where Nate Archibald is ahead of LeBron James. That's or Kobe Bryant for that matter.
Listen, how about this? How about Nate Archibald ahead of Steph Curry? I'm not even going to go to Kobe and LeBron. Who's taking Nate Archibald over Steph?
Nobody. Well, Kenny Smith.
I mean, so it's fun and it's a nice little conversation. And I'm not poo-pooing Nate Archibald. The fact of the matter is, Nate Archibald, as far as I remember, is the only player to lead the NBA in points and assists in the same season. So, I mean, he was legit. I ain't trying to say he wasn't legit, but he didn't change the very fabric of the league. Steph Curry did. LeBron James did. Jordan did. Changed the fabric of the league that you had to just reassess everything because this dude is balling. That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And then there's this other part. There's another angle to this, too, that you can argue. I think you can argue reasonably that there are three good choices for greatest player of all time. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a good choice. Michael Jordan is a good choice, yep. And LeBron James is a good choice. Right. Those three guys are kind of in their own group. If you want to throw Wilt Chamberlain in there, I'm not going to say you're crazy.
Some people will talk about Wilt.
If you want to throw Bill Russell in there, fine. Go ahead. The man won 11 championships. What am I going to do? Argue with 11 championships? I'm not going to do that. Now, we can argue about a 6'9 center. That's another issue that we can bring up at some point.
Man, he wouldn't done but Dennis Rodman. Man, stop.
There's five guys at best that we can put in the greatest of all time. Beyond that, we're talking about a different group of guys. Not that they're not great. You talk about Magic and Kobe and Larry Bird's and Oscar Robertson's and all these other guys that are some of the greatest players we've ever seen. But there's that level, and then there's those other five guys. And you're putting him behind all of that? Come on, man.
It's fun. He's having some fun. Everyone knows that Kobe is probably the second best, third best point shooting guard, depending upon how you feel about Jerry West or something. But certainly not much lower than that. And oh, by the way, if your top 10 list is filled with guys who are not in the top 10 in any major statistical category, I'm struggling with you, bro. I'm just struggling with you. If you can't give me at least one area where you finish in the top 10, I don't mean you got passed either. I mean, when you stop playing, were you in the top 10 in assists? Were you in the top 10 in scoring? Because if you weren't even that when you stopped playing in your era, then I don't really know what we're doing here.
Yeah. Kenny the Jet dropped the ball on that one.
But you know what? It seems to me that LeBron is disrespected more in these conversations than any other great player. That LeBron is the one. For instance, you've never seen a list involving the greatest players of all time where Michael Jordan was way down somebody's list. You've never seen it, right? That no one has ever said, I'll tell you what, Michael Jordan's the ninth greatest player of all time. We never see that. You've never seen a list where somebody says, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, let me tell you about him. Overrated, and here's why. He had to have this teammate. He didn't do this until Magic. No one ever does that to Kareem because it's crazy. No one ever does it to Michael because it's crazy.
They don't do it to Magic, Kareem. They don't do it to Magic, Kareem.
But they do it to LeBron all the time. And it's just LeBron is one of those dudes. If you're sliding him down the list like that, there's something else going on
other than
you think something that you don't like his game or his accomplishments for whatever reason, because you never see it with the other great players. You never see somebody say that about Michael Jordan or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and it happens to LeBron pretty frequently.
But it happens just across the board, though. Time and how you grew up and who was important to you when you were growing up, it's hard for people to let that go. It's hard for people.
But you know what's so crazy about that though, LZ? Even the younger generation of players, there's no argument about those four or five players. There's never an argument about Michael. There's never an argument about Magic, Larry, Dream, Shaq. There's even with the younger generation, there's never an argument with those players. But there's always an argument with LeBron and Kobe. There's always that argument. Always. No matter what era you played or grew up in watching, there's always an argument about that.
I think it's hard for people who are too close to it to properly assess it. Because if you're going to sit up here, you didn't hear people calling Michael Jordan the greatest when he was playing.
Yes, you did.
No, you didn't. You did not hear. Let's look at what just Karl Malone was saying. Karl Malone. When they had him, Carl Malone was like,
back to the league, he was in that conversation. When he came back second three-peat, he was definitely in that conversation.
No, I'm talking about the dudes who were playing. They gave him his respect, but they weren't bowing down to him as the ultimate basketball player until after the fact. While they were still battling him, they were battling him everywhere. And I specifically look at Carl Malone, because he still looked like he battled him, because he was like, yo, I was a bad MF too. And he's not handing it over to him like that. We obviously know how the Pistons felt about him. But there were a bunch of other players too that were contemporaries who weren't calling him the GOAT until it was all said and done. And I feel as if that's part of it too, that if you battle
Carl Malone,
it's harder for you to be like, he's the greatest ever. If you look at other sports, you know, again, I go back to the sport that I love, tennis. They ain't calling none of these dudes GOAT. We're calling them GOAT, but the guys and women that have to battle the Serenas and have to battle the Roger Federers and the Nadals, they say one of, but they ain't just surrendering like that. So I feel as if that's a little bit of it too, that if you surrender that title, then where's your motivation for beating them? You have to kind of keep them down in your head to make it seem as if it's possible to defeat them, despite what reality is.
But this isn't coming from their contemporaries right now. This is coming from older players that are doing these things. This isn't coming from Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and them aren't saying that he's a top 10 player in the NBA.
Right.
The contemporaries aren't saying that. They know what it is. It's the individuals that are past time that's saying it. Those are the ones that never played against him. Because the ones that played against him certainly got him in their top five players.
All right, 100%. We'll ask Michael Thompson all of these questions. That's coming up next. He's going to join us on the morning show on 710 ESPN. The more I think about it, the more it bothers me that LeBron gets disrespected like that, that those other greats don't. And I appreciate what you're saying, LZ, that guys in and of his era are going to be less likely to put him there. But it seems like there's even people outside of the era. There are people outside of the actual competitors that he's going against want to marginalize him.
It's only them, though, that do it. It ain't the people that in his era. Tell me one person in his era that he played against, that he plays with or against, that puts him in the top 10. I mean, outside the top five.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a weird deal. All right. You know who that is? You know whose music that is? That means Michael Thompson is joining us. Good morning, Michael. How are things?
Man, hey, I thought Keyshawn was going to New York. What's he still doing there?
Hey, man. Rumors.
Don't listen. He missed his flight.
Michael Thompson, What I would like to say is if you start listening to the rumors, you will start to believe them. I am extremely happy working at 710 ESPN in Los Angeles. I've had multiple opportunities to move to different locations throughout the United States for various jobs. I have elected to continue to work at 710 ESPN, and I will have no further comments about that. And then I leave in the middle of the night.
His last day is next week.
Good negotiating tactic, Key. Keep telling the people in New York you're so happy that'll keep raising the price up. I like that. Smart.
Oh, real smart. Man. Is it smart not to consider Kobe Bryant a top 10 player of all time?
No, man, I agree with Kenny Smith. These guys today can't compare to us in the 70s and 80s. We would run circles around these guys. I'm kidding, yeah. I don't know, Kenny Smith, obviously he needs to go back to work. This isolation sort of messing with his mind. For him to leave Kobe Bryant and LeBron James out of the top 10 or not having LeBron in the top 5, something's not right there. I think Kenny needs to go back to work, hang around Ernie Johnson more, be around basketball more to understand the greatness of these players of the day. I would put LeBron top 5, Kobe maybe number 6 or 7 somewhere in there, and Kevin Durant in the top 10 too. From what I've seen, I'm older than all you guys, even older than LZ. I've seen all these greats play, from Bill Russell to Will Chamberlain. I didn't see Mike in play, but I saw Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, everybody after that play. Believe me, Kobe, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James belong in anybody's top 10. I don't know what
Michael
was talking about.
Why is it LeBron that always seems to get the brunt of this stuff? Because no one ever says anything crazy like that about Kareem. No one ever says anything crazy like that about Michael Jordan. Yet people say crazy things about LeBron far more often than you would ever expect. Why does LeBron get that weird reception from his contemporaries and from the guys that came before him?
It's a great question, Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis, because it would be like, You know baseball better than anybody else at 7'10", Travis. It'd be like some old-timer or some current guy saying that Willie Mays is in a top 5 player, or Hank Aaron,
right,
or Barry,
right,
Bonds. You know, it's just crazy to think about this, their logic. It makes no sense. I got to chalk it up, fellas, to maybe being jealous of LeBron and all the power that he holds, because you can't deny his talents. You can't deny his physical freakness that we've seen over the last 15 years. So I gotta bring chalk it up to Keyshawn. The guy should be jealous of his wealth and the power that he holds. That's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's not. I don't think it's the money thing, because all of the guys have earned what they earned and they're living good lives and stuff like that. So I don't think it's that. I think it's more about how he goes about doing things, and that means the power that he has. I think it's how you
That's
move.
What I just said. Don't you listen to me?
No, you said money. I took the money part out of the equation, knucklehead. I'm going to miss this. But I took the money out of it. But a lot of times when players say things about other superstars, they don't envy the economics of it. They envy how you move, how you're able to move the needle, how you're able to – you know, just your style, it's just different. Like, you roll different. When you go through the door, when you go through, people open the door for you. You don't have to ask somebody. You don't have to bust the door down. When Michael Jordan walks in a room, it changes. Magic Johnson walks in a room, it changes. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, when they walk in a room, everything ceases. Everything stops. And so I think a lot of times people resent that. They get so tired of everyone talking about how great that person is on and off the court or on and off the field. That's what happens.
You know, I also feel like LeBron is still being punished because of the decision.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, it is
years
ridiculous.
Later.
It is ridiculous, but I feel that people still believe that somehow he gamed the system. And they conveniently ignore, and this is especially true of the old heads, who conveniently ignore the fact that they played with Hall of Famers on their side, and LeBron was trying to get it done with Larry Hughes and Zubac, or not Zubac, but what's the big fella's name? I can't even think of his name anymore. Thank you. LeBron's trying to get it done with that. Meanwhile, they're saying, I would never, ever team up with a superstar, and they got Hall of Famers on their side. Jordan was flanked by 2 Hall of Famers. Magic was flanked by, God, what, 4 Hall of Famers?
5,
yes.
Including me in the Bahamas.
You know, that's right.
There you go. Larry Bird. People put it the big 3. Dennis Johnson is a damn Hall of Famer who was a Finals MVP. Mm-hmm. So when you really look at the rosters, they're punishing LeBron James for doing what they are accustomed to GMs and presidents is doing, which is putting together a good team, putting together a team that can compete. But because LeBron did it and didn't sit back and let somebody else do it for him, they're punishing him.
Michael. Yeah, and LeBron deserves more credit for carrying all those Cleveland teams to the finals when he wasn't playing with Hall of Famers. How do you ignore that?
Exactly. Kyrie's not a lock Hall of Famer. Kevin Love is not a lock Hall of Famer. So you can't even say that his teammates.
He went to the finals with Boobie Gibson.
That's true.
Michael, what do you think it's going to look like when they get back on the court? You and I have had this conversation a bunch of times, whether it's a new teammate coming in or at the beginning of the season or adding a player in the middle of the season, that you think it should happen pretty quickly. Obviously, this is unprecedented where your season stopped, we took a four-month break, and now we're going to restart. Does everybody just pick up where they left off?
Yeah, these guys will. These guys are all veterans. A bunch of them are NBA champions on this roster. They understand how to play the game. They're familiar with playing against each other now after going 49-14 or something like that. So, they'll have to get back in basketball shape. But as far as familiarity with playing with each other and being comfortable with each other, they'll hit the floor running when it comes to that. It's like when Keyshawn's out there being a 10-year wide receiver veteran working with a quarterback for several years. You click right away, right, Key?
Well, yeah, but your body – you know, once you stop and you try to restart, you could be a little sore at times, but your body catches up to you. Clicking with your teammates that's the easy part. It's about getting your body back into basketball acclimated conditioning and in shape, as well as in football. And you would know, Michael, that these next couple weeks is critical for that to take place once the regular season starts, once the playoffs start.
But everybody's in the same boat, though.
Did we lose somebody?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, everybody got quiet.
No, I'm still here.
Are you looking for your argument? Were you quiet on me?
So with that in mind, Michael, does that mean that we're still talking about three teams that have a chance to win this whole thing? Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks? Are we still talking about a three-horse race?
I'll put a fourth team in there. We got to give Toronto some credit. They're well coached. They are very familiar with each other. They're coming off of a championship themselves. So that's the top four. Philadelphia and Boston could be a threat in the East. But as long as everybody's healthy and can avoid the virus, it's a four-team race for the finals. But I'm so confident, Key and LZ and Travis, size 12, baby. You know what size 12 means for me? That's my ring size. I've already sent that into the Lakers.
So speaking of ring size and sending it to the Lakers, how are you going to call the games?
Oh, we're going to be in studio up there where you guys are. We're going to call it right from the studio at LA Live. We've done that before at El Segundo Studio for Summer League. So it's all in sync. It's very easy to do because you're calling the games live right there off the monitor. It's very easy to do. We'll miss being in the arena, but you can easily call it off the monitor.
So the game, so that I'm clear here, the Laker games is still going to be telecast from Orlando on Spectrum.
Yes. Of course.
Yes.
All the games. And on ESPN and TNT, all that stuff.
Okay. I didn't know how they were going to do it.
Are guys going to sneak out? You played in the NBA a long time. You know how that world works.
Man, Clay ain't down there.
No, Travis, everybody's talking about that, but sneak out to go where? To go to a club? Well, come on, Travis.
Yes.
These guys are professionals. They're grown men. What are you going to sneak out to do?
That's what I
Michael,
keep trying
come
to
on,
hey, Michael,
Michael,
Michael, come on. I keep,
come
Michael,
on.
I keep
Michael,
trying to Michael, sell Michael, these dudes Michael, on that. They don't
stop.
Believe me.
Michael, we're
stop.
Trying to have an adult conversation. Let's be grown-ups about this. You know exactly what they were trying to sneak out and do. So the question is, when are they going to sneak out and do it? Not if. But when?
No, see, I don't believe that because I really believe, fellas, me and Keyshawn, we understand how professionalism works. You and Elton need to start reading some books. I believe every leader of every team, whoever it is, and you know LeBron's going to do it, fellas. We're here to do a job to win a championship.
Absolutely.
It ain't about going out to party.
Absolutely.
Let's be professional and hold each other accountable.
And that's
hey,
why
Michael,
I'm trying to
Michael,
tell
I have a question
don't
for
believe
you.
Me.
Michael, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If this is true, then why does the NBA have disciplinary policies? If everybody's just going to do what they're supposed to do, then why does Adam Silver have the power to suspend players? based upon your theory, there would be no need for a disciplinary problem because every season players are going to be professional and trying to do what they can.
But
to
every
win a
season, they're not going to be in a bubble, man. I keep trying to sell you on the bubble.
The bubble makes it worse.
No, because we're telling you, don't go anywhere. Stay here. We're isolated from the world.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Don't drink and drive. Wear a mask.
You risk getting yourself sick or getting someone else sick. So guys aren't going to take that risk, Travis and LG. Why don't you guys understand this?
They don't want to understand. I've been trying to preach this
because
thing
I understand
for a month.
That from the beginning because of time, people make decisions that are terrible for themselves.
That is
people
true.
Make decisions that yes. are terrible for others. But people put other people at risk every single day.
Michael?
People put themselves at risk every single day. They think it's never going to happen to them until it happens to them. Wear a condom. Don't drink and drive. Do this, do that. Don't go over here. Don't go over there. We all do all the exact opposite over and over and over again from the original story, Adam and Eve. Don't eat those apples. He ate the damn apples.
It was just one, Travis.
Michael, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. We'll be fine. Hey, real quick, Michael, what's the worst hotel you ever stayed at on the road?
Oh, I don't want to say, Keyshawn, but okay, I'll tell you the city. But I won't say the hotel. I don't want to put them in a bad light. But the worst hotel we stay in is in Memphis. But you know what, though? It has good food, but the rooms are kind of like a little shaky.
See, spoiled. Spoiled Orange County beach bum you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we are. Hey, I know.
Thanks, Mike.
We're a bunch of elitists. I know that.
Michael, good to hear your voice again. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
All right, sir. New York, Keith.
All right. We'll come back. We'll talk about that bubble again and why people are going to sneak out because I've never been more certain, never more certain that I'm right. Plus, a Major League Baseball MVP has said, this season's not for me. We'll tell you who next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Fellas.
Yeah.
Trey, what's up, LZ, huh? Fellas. I know y'all get people calling y'all trying to scam y'all all the time, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I had a dude call me doing a show, and I thought it was the dumpster coming to my house with the dumpster. But I answered the phone, and a dude wanted to, you know, talk to me about some refund on my computer, this, that, and the other. And the first thing I said, well, first of all, I'm not calling nobody to do anything with a computer to get a refund because I don't.
You don't know how to use a computer.
I don't
you don't even know how to
computer,
use one.
So it's not
details.
You know.
Details.
And so I said, okay, you know what I'm gonna do. I'm not calling back, but I'm going to put him on speaker. Listen, watch. I want to mess with him like he did me.
So watch this. Oh, boy.
Yeah. As long as he don't curse. Hello? Hi.
Hi, sir. Very lovely. Good day to you. What are you doing today?
I'm returning the phone call.
Yes, sir.
You call me.
You're talking to Alex. Yeah. I will explain you. Sir, you're talking to Alex from Cancellation and Refund Department of Global Geek Squad. And this is just a reminder call to you that your computer security software has been expired today. So you want to renew the services and you paid $399 or you want to cancel it and get back your money.
Okay, can you send the bill to 710 ESPN? Come on, man. See what I'm saying? Now my refund I need to cancel. Man, what the heck? Dudes be scamming out here. God.
I think that's the guy that wanted my credit card number to free the Nigerian prince's money.
He said that's the same guy. If I wanted to extend and get my refund. Nah. I love stuff. I mess with him like that all the time. I get the IRS. They calling me from Boston. Like, wait, come on, man. I done got that one before. Just give me your social security number.
That's a good one, though, because that one is the one that makes you at least say, wait, who's calling me?
First of all, the IRS ain't calling you. They going to send you a letter, and then they going to go from there and do what they need to do to you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're not going to ask. They're just going to take
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's how
But
that
I
goes.
Love that when people, oh, man, it's just funny. I just had to do it.
It's pretty good.
I wish I knew your social security credit card number, Raj. I would have gave it to the dude. A part gift.
We knew that David Price is out, right? We knew that he decided he was going to opt out. We've seen Mike Trout talk about him being concerned about the season. An MVP, Buster Posey, who is a deadlock cinch Hall of Famer, is out. He says that he's not going to play. Quote, after wanging for a long time, talking to doctors, I just feel like in the current state that we're in right now, and these babies being as fragile as they are for the next 4 months at minimum, this ultimately wasn't that difficult a decision for me. He is not going to play because he has a, they recently adopted twin girls who were both born prematurely. So there's another player, another big name player who is not going to play in Major League Baseball this year.
Well, that's an easy decision, right? I mean, that to me is an easy decision. You have an issue at home. It's not you don't want to go out and bring that issue back home with you. So, of course, you got new kids or anything like that. It's just like my newborn child that I have that's a month old. If all of a sudden ESPN says, well, you know, we don't know about the studio in L.A., blah, blah, blah. No, I know about the studio in L.A. So I'm not willing to take that chance and that risk in that studio in LA. So you gotta gauge what's important. And clearly to Buster, importance was his family. The family is more important than some damn baseball. And I don't blame him when it comes to that situation where you have somebody that may be a Cody Bellinger or Mookie Betts that may not have any issues at home, but more concerned it may be to contract it, to bring it to his grandmother or their mom who may be older. That sort of stuff may be an issue.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to our mentality that makes us characterize wearing a mask as a political statement or taking precautions with social distancing as some sort of measure of manhood. I don't know what's wrong with us. But I do know that I'm thankful that we still have the power to decide whether or not we want to be involved with those kind of people. And that's what you're seeing in the world of sports, where athletes are looking around and saying, do I want to put myself at a greater risk? Because everyone doesn't have the same care for me as I have for myself. Everyone doesn't have the same care for themselves as I have for myself. And I'm pretty sure no one else gives a damn about my kids or my family besides me. And so you need to make these kind of decisions when it comes to reintroducing yourself to this kind of environment, because there's just a lot of people in this country and in this world who just don't give a damn in the same way that you may. And that should be applauded and not ridiculed.
And that right there is the perfect explanation as to why somebody's going to leave that bubble. Because what they don't think about is I don't doubt that the vast majority of guys are going to honor the bubble and do what's right for themselves and for everybody else inside. But LZ, you just said it. There are other people out there that are saying, oh, I'm not going to get sick. I'm fine. And the next thought about, well, is he going to be fine? Are his twin daughters going to be fine? Is his grandmother going to be fine? Is his wife, who's a cancer survivor, going to be fine? It doesn't go through their head. And that's why I'm absolutely positively convinced that there will be guys that take risks, unnecessary risks, because they don't think steps two through however many. It's just, I'm not in a high risk category. I'm a healthy young guy. I'll be out there. Nothing's going to happen. And they're going to go do it, because that's what we've done since we started walking on this planet.
Yeah. And, you know, it just is what it is. You know, if everyone was going to do the right thing, we wouldn't need rules and laws, right? I mean, if even just thinking about charity, the reason why we even have a tax break for donations is because we couldn't even depend for people with resources in and of themselves just to do the right thing and help people out. We had to give them an extra little motivation, an extra carrot to dangle. And so I'm not saying that we're evil as a species, but we have some evil parts of our species. And we have some ignorant parts, and we have some people who just don't give a damn.
All of the above. All of the above. Brian Kamenetsky is going to join us for Crosstalk coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right. Clinton Yates and Brian Kamenetsky are going to be sitting in for George today. BK joining us here for a little Crosstalk right now. Good morning, Brian. How are things?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just want to laugh real quick. One of my buddies just texted me, right? Because I guess he's watching SportsCenter, watching sub. He goes, is Kendrick Perkins stupid? And I go, why? He goes, because he said, kid, you play football without tackling.
I mean, It's not a great question.
That's how I did it.
You can play football without tackling. I mean, come on, though, man. No.
He didn't say that on TV, did he?
Yeah, he said it on – I guess he must have been on First Take or something. I mean,
two-hand touch, something, flag. I mean, there are options, right?
And I just had to laugh because the way he said it, he said, is he stupid?
Let's just say it wasn't a great question.
He wants a do-over.
Leave it at that. Yeah.
He wants a do-over. Brian,
You are going to be our first snake draft judge. A few times a week, we all go around the horn. We get to pick our favorite items from a predetermined topic. Today's topic is our favorite bar games, games to play while you're inside a bar. I'm going to give you the three teams. You tell me which one you like the best. I'm going to give them to you without names. Here's team A. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pool, axe throwing, skee ball, and pinball. That's team A.
So skee ball and pinball separately. Okay.
Correct. And then team B is foosball, shuffleboard, beer pong, and that trivia game. And then team C is darts, pop a shot, cornhole, and air hockey. Which of those three do you pick?
Whole air hockey. Now, when you say shuffleboard, are you talking big shuffleboard or like the
tabletop
with the sand? Okay.
Tabletop, yeah.
I am going to go, wow, pool and axes are a really strong start, but I'm a little dubious about pinball there at the end, as much as I like pinball. Beer pong is strong, as is tabletop shuffleboard. I'm going pool, whoever has team A, pool, axes, skee ball, and pinball.
That's key. That's Key's team, and he is currently in the lead. He's got 44%.
Yeah, I think that's pretty strong.
He's got 44. I'm the one with darts, pop a shot, cornhole, and air hockey. I'm in second, and LZ with his beer pong, trivia, shuffleboard, and foosball is in last.
You got
him. I
got
to be seeing like Travis. I think yours, Travis, your list is very similar. It's like the light version of Keys. Like, if you're going to play with things that are dangerous, throw axes, don't throw darts. If you're going to, like, roll something, skee ball is more fun than cornhole. It's like,
was throwing axes, BK, in Dallas. I was telling them when I played in the Cotton Bowl, you know how they always have activities for you to do? And we went on one of those little areas and teams and stuff. So I had a chance to actually throw an axe. Mine stuck pretty good. I didn't get it in the middle or nothing, but, and I didn't particularly like it.
Do they coach you up, Key? Do they tell you how to do it, or they say, here's an axe and
literally? I guess you have to be very careful because you don't touch yourself or something.
You think throwing an axe to the bar, you have to be very careful?
Well, it's an area, fool, where ain't nobody standing in front of the damn axe where you throw it. But it just in general, when you swing it, you know, if you don't swing it right, you can chip your ear. It's all sorts of little weird stuff.
Chip? How about remove?
Or remove. Remove.
Well, that was one of my favorite things. Like when Texas began to reopen, they made a big deal out of which places. One of the big things that opened was this like giant axe throwing place. Or it was a restaurant bar that was built around axe throwing. And I guess even in Texas, nobody showed up for that. They're like, okay, I'm not leaving the house quite yet just to go throw axes with people.
I don't understand.
I thought that was kind of good.
Can you help me understand? Like, there's just certain things I'm not risking it all for. I'm not risking it all for hot dogs or haircuts or tattoos. I'm not risking it all to throw an axe. And nonetheless, some of these places have people in them. Can you help me understand?
But let me ask you this, though. Would you risk it all for that funny stuff that smells in the air when you have to go in and purchase
warmer.
That?
We're getting warmer.
You get that delivered. You don't need to leave the house for that.
Yes, you can. Key, let me ask you this real quick before we let Brian go. That you accused me of being that's how I make my living, playing bar games, because I'm the white guy that went to Santa Barbara. Is Brian a professional bar games player?
No, he's not. No.
Are you calling me an amateur?
No, but you're not a professional. Like, your brother would fall right underneath Travis.
Yeah.
You're a little more straight laced as far as the games go. You like me.
Oh,
you'll
really?
Do the pool, you'll do the axe throwing. Travis is Santa Barbara bar
Axe throwing is straight laced.
That's what you're going to say. That's
because you're not going to that bar once a week to throw axes.
No.
Travis would go to play the games at those bars that he play at least twice a week.
Damn Mr. Well, Rogers.
Yeah. Yes,
welcome back, Mr. Rogers. Here's your axe.
Two would be probably low. You're probably not giving me enough credit, Keith.
All right, three.
BK and Clinton Yates at Philly Game 4 Sedano. That is coming up next. We'll see you Monday on the morning show at 6 a.m. on 710 ESPN.